rap back, where you at?
Blood alone moves the wheels of history. Hi-oh!
Hey, what's going on? It's Thursday, October 3rd. This is The Rant. I'm Jeff. Got a quick one for you here today. I want to zip through some of the latest news to get you set up. Of course, we'll do the game-by-game preview for tomorrow's episode of the podcast. In the meantime, go check out ftnfantasy.com for all of your fantasy football needs. Use the promo code RATPACK for 10% off. We have betting. We have DFS, we have season-long fantasy football, we have season-long fantasy baseball, we have season-long fantasy hockey. Who does that? We do. That's who. Go check it out. The site's awesome. Really, really proud of what we've been able to build, especially this last maybe half a year or so. Really, just the site has taken off. Maybe the last year, give or take. It's just been awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. All right, I want to dive into it today. I want to start with the Davante Adams stuff because obviously there are still so many moving pieces with all of this, but maybe try and establish what is the most likely series of events here for Davante Adams given what we currently know. And fortunately, we currently know a thing or two about a thing or two. So the latest news is, unsurprisingly, Adams is not expected to play this week. So if you have him, get other plans in place. The good news is I don't know how real the hamstring injury actually is or how severe, maybe. Maybe it's a little tweak, but that at least is good. Now, Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated last night put out a report on this, and he said, quote, teams involved in the Davante Adams market have become convinced the Raiders' start is focused on engineering a trade to the Jets. That does make a lot of sense just in general from my vantage point here. Makes perfect sense because, let's see, the Jets have Aaron Rodgers, first and foremost. The Jets also kind of feel like they're missing one piece, right? Is it just me? Or is it, I don't know, maybe it's more than one piece, but it definitely feels like they're missing something. The Jets have an offense that Davante Adams knows. There's no learning curve. He's going to step right in, and he will be able to play pretty quickly because he's already played under Nathaniel Hackett. A lot of it checks out. Now, before I go any further, I do want to say this about Garrett Wilson. If you're freaking out over Garrett Wilson, guess what? Davante Adams going to the Jets would actually be good for Garrett Wilson. It would be good for Davante Adams as well to be reunited with Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers can still throw the ball around the yard. I'm not worried about that part. But right now, you're talking about Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams, who's older and coming back from a serious knee injury. Alan Lazard, who's probably better suited to being like a number four, not a number three or a number two, which is kind of what he's doing right now. I mean, come on. If you're a defense, and we've seen it already, who do you focus your attention on? Garrett Wilson, obviously. Last week, Patrick Surtain shadowed him, and I'll get into some of the shadow stuff on the podcast today too. Of course he shadowed him, because there's nobody else to shadow. If you have Davante Adams on the field, guess who you're shadowing? Not Garrett Wilson. And Adams is going to get his regardless because he's definitely one of the best wide receivers of his generation. And a lot of that is because of how stinking good of a route runner he is. He's going to get his regardless, but that'll free things up for Garrett Wilson. So I don't think it's a bad thing. And I think people are getting way ahead of themselves. I actually said this in the FTN Discord today regarding something else I'm going to get into, the Malik Nabers stuff. But I said, yo, you're at step five and we haven't even finished step one yet. Like, we don't need to get ahead of ourselves. I know that this world is always like, you know, first to market. Speed to market, baby. We got to be the first one to do everything. But sometimes when you do that, you rush to decisions. And more often than not even just sometimes, in fantasy, you rush to decisions that aren't correct. So I would be careful here. It actually might be a good thing if he goes to the Jets. But it isn't just the Jets in play. We did see that, you know, Adams obviously wants to play for the Jets, but he's open to going elsewhere. I mentioned some of the elsewhere earlier in the week. Right now, financially, like, Dallas would make sense. They're not going to do it. At least that's what they've said. So they're probably out. Financially, other than the Jets, because you do need the money to work here in order for this to happen. You can't have no cap space and make this happen. Like the Saints, hey, it'd be great if you played with Derek Carr. Guess what? They have no cap space. It ain't happening. They have 2.8 in cap space. You need 10 million more than that to make this happen, essentially. So I mentioned the Commanders as a possibility. I don't see any of these other teams really making sense. Like, the 49ers have a ton of cap space. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So a lot of them don't make sense. The Steelers are close. And I would say they have to be on the list, although I'm hearing other receivers might be more likely for the Steelers to potentially trade for. If, in fact, this team is, well, I mean, their defense is amazing. If they're able to do enough on offense to keep themselves in the mix here, and it looks like they're heading towards a postseason run, then they need some wide receiver help. But I don't think that it's Adams. So the Jets make sense. The Commanders, for me, a dark horse. Who knows if that actually happens? I will say that the Bills and the Chiefs have been thrown around. Here's the problem. Chiefs is twofold. Chiefs play in the same division, not optimal, and they only have 4.8 in cap space. Okay. The Bills have 3.7 roughly in cap space. Neither one of them financially can make this happen. And yes, you could argue, couldn't they restructure some folks? Yes, they could. They could. But I don't even know then. I don't know who's eligible for restructure. And even then, can they get to the number? So what we're hearing from Diana Rossini is, drum roll, please. All right, that wasn't a drum roll. But what the heck was that? Is that a goat? All right. Drum roll anyway, that the Bills and Chiefs are interested, but they want the Raiders to take on some of the money. In other words, they can't financially get it done. That is a fancy way of saying that. Yeah, of course, hey, we'd be interested, but why don't you pay most of his salary and we'll take him off your hands? Yeah, the Raiders aren't going to do that. You know, this is, I don't think this is a we're desperate to get rid of him. It's a, we have somebody that a lot of you guys want, so come and get him. And I think of the teams who are most likely to do so, the Jets would certainly be one of those teams. Let's not forget that they basically bid against themselves for Aaron Rodgers. So seems like a distinct possibility. And I would expect him to, you know, really hit the ground running immediately for that team. And it really wouldn't be the worst landing spot. Now, don't get too cute with your Jakobi Meyers stuff, too, by the way, because honestly, I think that the Raiders will just be a complete disaster from this point. And hey, if they end up going 2-15 and get themselves a quarterback for next year, so be it. Let's run through the rest of the news here, though. Nick Chubb out there in practice. I don't expect him to be activated this week from injured reserve, but he did say he felt good after doing individual drills yesterday. So that's good news on Nick Chubb. Moving on to a few of the practice reports from today. Brian Robinson is yet to practice this week. Austin Ekeler has practiced. So it does look like Eckler's going to be back out there. I want to be really clear on practice reports. When it comes to concussions, the most important practice report is the second one of the week. If they go DNP and then limited, that's a great sign. If they go DNP, then DNP, that's a bad sign. Now, the first one, DNP limited, most of the time they do play, can't say all the time. If they go DNP, DNP, the second one, most of the time they don't play, can't say all the time. So that is important to note. Right there with that. Now, with Brian Robinson, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. And the same thing is going to apply for Devin Singletary, who also, I don't have an official practice report, but the beat writers were saying he did not practice today. Hope for the best, plan for the worst. But really, I have no sense whether or not they are going to play until the Friday practice report. I can tell you flat out, if I'm looking at a Friday practice report or 3 days of practice reports and that player is listed as questionable, I can tell you, and I'll be bluntly honest, I'm confident in this one, like 90% accuracy with these dudes playing. Every so often you get a little bit of a surprise, sure. But most of the time, the practice reports, when you have 3 days of them, that pattern will tell you if they're playing or not, if they're listed as questionable. So DNP, DNP, yeah, it sounds bad, but we don't know. Brian Robinson could be limited tomorrow and then play over the weekend. He could go DNP tomorrow and then not play over the weekend. Here's what we do. Instead of being at step five, we're still at step one. And step one in fantasy football is prepare for the worst, hope for the best. That's it. That's all we can do right now. If we do anything else, we could end up making mistakes. Now, hopefully you drafted for depth. Hopefully you have the depth to sustain you through not only injuries, but also the bye week, but have a plan just in case. if you have Robinson, if you have Singletary. If Robinson doesn't go, I would expect a lot of Eckler and, yes, Jeremy McNichols. And Eckler would be the preferred. If Singletary doesn't go, yeah, I'd expect a lot of Tyrone Tracy and a little bit of Eric Gray. And, yeah, Tracy would be the preferred. Tracy is not Singletary, right? Eckler is not Brian Robinson, nor is Jeremy McNichols. So it's not the same. It's not a one for one. This isn't Priest Holmes to Larry Johnson, and then you just rinse and repeat. It's not as good as that. But those guys with four teams on bye will likely be flex worthy or better. Well, Austin Eckler would be better. He'd be an RB2. Tyrone Tracy likely flex worthy. Jeremy McNichols might be flex worthy. So that's where we are on that front. As far as Anthony Richardson is concerned, honestly, the practice reports look pretty favorable so far. Back-to-back limited practices. I think he's out there, and I want to be really clear about this. I don't think he was that bad last week before the injury. Now, of course, the injuries keep happening, and I don't think it's a coincidence that he's been injured. Basically, every time he's been injured as a pro has been when he's running. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think this is his running style. They talked about not changing his running style in the offseason, and it seems like that was a bad idea. He needs to stop running to contact. You know, this is like a lot of these things we see at the pro level. Like, for example, you know, quarterbacks like Jameis Winston. You know what Jameis Winston could have done a whole heck of a lot better, and maybe he'd still be a starter? It isn't about the running. It was about not throwing the ball into bad situations. Sometimes you just have to throw the ball away, or sometimes you have to do, in the Philly area, we call this a Donovan McNabb, throw the ball where nobody can catch it. People used to complain all the time in the Philly area about that with McNabb, but a lot of times he was just throwing it to avoid an interception. It was basically a throwaway, right? Like, not a bad thing. Live to play another down. And that, you know, that's the same thing here with Richardson. Like, he has to get rid of this tendency of running to contact, or this won't work for the long term. Having said that, his ceiling is enormous. Having said that, it's up to you, man. I can't make the decision for you. I fortunately do not have any decisions with Anthony Richardson because I didn't draft this dude. He was going way too early for me. And I have found this a lot. Like, I talked about this on my SiriusXM show today. A lot of people's problems stem from poor draft strategy or poor execution of draft strategy. If you have Anthony Richardson, chances are you drafted him too early. And I'm not talking to the, you know, 5% of the audience who has him in a keeper league. Even then, if it's a one quarterback league, I wouldn't have been keeping Richardson. But regardless, in most instances, I can't generalize. Either way, if you drafted him in a one quarterback league, you drafted him too early and you created a problem for yourself now because he didn't hit as of right now. He could still hit, and that possibility is still there, but you created a conundrum by draft strategy. And hopefully this year, I mean, I talk about this every single year, but hopefully this year the message drives home for a few more people so that you avoid it for next year. You know, if you went safe and upside didn't hit in a lot of instances here, at least yet, because a lot of the safe guys haven't been that safe for a variety of reasons. Matthew Stafford lost his two top receivers. Kirk Cousins hasn't rounded into form yet. You know, Tua got hurt. Like, it's been a bad season for the safe options. And really the upside, I mean, I still think that there's a lot of meat on the bone with Caleb Williams. And obviously Jaden Daniels has hit. Trevor Lawrence, maybe a little meat on the bone there. Justin Herbert, not. But either way, you could still stream your way into Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, somebody who was dropped. There's a lot of options there. When you draft Anthony Richardson in the sixth round, you limit your options. But he is on track to play, it looks like, for this week. I'll stop burying you. I'm sorry. Tank Dell looks like he'll be back on the field. But we don't know about Mixon and Damian Pierce. To answer your question, though, why do we have this blind spot for Cam Akers? I don't get it. No. Last week, he looked like Cam Akers. The week before, guess who he looked like? Cam Akers. That's not a good thing. Last week, they didn't even use him in passing situations. They were using Daria Gumbawale. Like, there's nothing here with Cam Akers. I hope Mixon gets back. He was called day-to-day, which usually means you play this week, but not always. Rashee Rice, news came out about him. The team is actually waiting because, if you've noticed, He is not on season-ending injured reserve. He is not on injured reserve designated to return. He's not on anything. So the idea here is the team is waiting, this according to Andy Reid, for all the swelling to go down in his knee before they're going to do additional tests. I don't know how long that takes. I'm not a medical expert, but you're telling, like Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber, you're telling me there's a chance, baby. He may not be done. Hopefully you didn't cut him yet. This is still wait and see. I don't know what's going to happen here, but I mean, honestly, no news is good news until we get news. This is not a bad thing. Jonathan Taylor not practicing today, very unlikely to play. I am not bullish on Trey Sermon. I think you're probably looking at flex value, and I'm still awaiting whether or not we're going to get Evan Hull activated this week from the or elevated from practice squad. If he's out there, I mean, he could get a little bit of run. I just really don't want to trust Trey Sermon. Haven't we done this with him too? He's like a very poor man's Cam Akers, but haven't we done this with Trey Sermon a few times? I just want to be cautious with him. So flex worthy, that's about it. All right, let's talk Malik Nabers. So Jordan Renan talked about him and said, quote, "It seems like a long shot he'll be ready. Nabers is in concussion protocol, did not practice yesterday, and the report as of today is it looks like it's going to go down as a DNP. Almost always, the second DNP of the week means you are not playing. To make matters worse here, you know, this is a five-step process that you have to get through. The first step is basically resting, you know, pretty much as it should be. The second and third steps are pretty, you can get through them pretty quickly. So essentially, you have to do aerobic exercise and then you have to do, you know, more physical drills. Then the fourth step is the key. That's when you get individual drills on the football field. In other words, a limited practice. If you don't get to that by the second practice of the week, not good. Now, I can't say he won't, like, he could go limited tomorrow. By the way, if we see limited tomorrow, that would be that one rare instance of there is still a chance. If he goes DNP tomorrow, then he will not play. Like, no doubt. As of right now, it doesn't look likely. So I would plan to be without him for this week. Unfortunately, the good news is I don't think it'll last beyond this week. Based on what we're hearing here, he still seems like he is in that first step. But he could advance through tomorrow and then things will look a whole lot better. But I would plan to not have him this week. Wandale Robinson, in theory, gets a bunch of work. Obviously, Darius Slayton will get some work too. Whoopity-doo on that front. I mean, if you're in a super deep league, maybe that matters. But I'm guessing that probably doesn't apply to many listeners of this podcast. All right, let me zip through some of the wide receiver cornerback intel for this week. So first and foremost, remember, this is more for a DFS crowd. You don't need to get this granular in a season-long fantasy football league, even if it's hyper-competitive, because remember, you're trying to hit your midpoint or better. In season-long, you're trying to hit your ceiling in DFS. Oh, so much easier said than done. But looking through the matchups for this week, and really, first and foremost, I mean, probably the best matchup of the year so far has been anybody facing the New York Giants, and in particular, Deontay Banks. He's gotten torched, absolutely torched this season. And guess who gets to face him? One of the hottest receivers in the NFL right now, DK Metcalf. Giddy up, DK Metcalf. Really digging that spot for him. For Sunday morning, don't forget to set your alarm. You have a 9:30 Eastern start, so that's 6:30 a.m. on the West Coast for this London game, and it is Minnesota and the Jets. Let's be clear, Sauce Gardner rarely shadows. I can't say 0% of the time, but it is super rare, so I don't think he actually travels with Justin Jefferson in this one. Sauce tends to play his side. Now, the interesting thing about the Minnesota Vikings is they move their guys around the formation. So Jefferson has played on the left 35% of the time. On the right, let's see, is it 31% of the time and then 34% of the time in the slot. So he's moving around the formation. I doubt he sees Sauce more than a third of the time. He's going to be just fine here, so wouldn't worry on that front. We could see certainly Christian Gonzalez on Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill is a wide receiver 3 just in general, not the week to be using him for DFS purposes. I kind of dig this spot for the Rams receivers. I'm hoping this turns into a shootout against Green Bay. And of course, I love the Green Bay guys. I'll get into those guys in a moment. But Tutu Atwell, Jordan Whittington, they move around the formation as well. And Atwell has displayed a high ceiling, and Whittington could get some volume again this week. Again, don't overthink this thing for season long, but for DFS, kind of sneaky, both of those guys. Keyshawn Nixon in the slot and Corey Ballantyne, who has had to step in here if Jair can't play again. And as of right now, I mean, Jair did get back into practice. Let's just be careful on that one. If Jair is out there, I don't think he shadows, honestly. I don't think there's enough firepower for these wideouts. Like if Nacua was playing, then Jair would shadow him. So keep an eye on that. If Jair goes, I don't even think it really matters. I think I'd still be looking at sprinkling a little Tutu and a little Jordan Whittington into some DFS lineups. Let me do Green Bay now because I love the spot out of the slot for Jaden Reed. Oh, man. Quentin Lake has been getting beat up on a little bit here. Great spot for Jaden Reed. But honestly, DFS, I don't mind having lineups with any of those three, Wicks and Romeo Doubs as well. Like this spot for Josh Downs this week. Good matchup out of the slot. Really good matchup across the board for the Indianapolis Colts. And really on the other side, like that's a good game to get in on because you can throw on Indy a little bit. Chris Lammons out of the slot is a nice matchup for Christian Kirk. So I would want to go after that spot there. Let's see, what else is there? CeeDee Lamb. Let me talk about him. So Joey Porter's really good. Joey Porter shadows, but I don't think Joey Porter is going to be a complete shadow on CeeDee Lamb. Joey Porter does not really go to the slot. He's been in the slot 3.5% of his routes covered this season. So what does that mean for Lamb, who's been in the slot 55% of the time this season? I think he avoids him roughly 55% of his routes. In other words, only on the perimeter is he going to see Joey Porter. And fine, that's tough. But when he's in the slot, guess who's going to get the football? So I'm not worried about CeeDee Lamb. No Brandon Cooks this week. I'm not getting too cute with Jalen Tolbert in season long. Otherwise, I mean, those are probably the biggest ones that stand out from a favorability standpoint. I do have a few shadow situations. Garrett Wilson, we could see Stephon Gilmore on him. Don't think that really moves the needle one way or the other. We'll see if McDuffie actually shadows Olave or Rashid Shaheed. Or neither. That's going to be an interesting litmus test. Does Kansas City identify Shaheed as the priority to shadow? I think that'll be helpful for us. Otherwise, I mentioned the New England shadows. Oh, we could see some JC Horn on DJ Moore. JC's been partially shadowing this season, so I don't think it puts a major damper on DJ Moore. I want to see that offense become more creative. I'll actually have some good stats tomorrow on the in the report article for Caleb Williams, some encouraging stats. So make sure that you always check that out on Fridays. That's my game-by-game breakdown over at ftnfantasy.com. Last year, it was a little bit shorter. I know that people want a little bit more information, so I've spent more time on it this year, made it a longer article. All right, that's going to wrap it up for today. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk about what we see in Thursday Night Football. Hopefully, this is an entertaining game. I think it should be. The NFC South has been really intriguing, and especially if Carolina can kind of, you know, push some of these teams. So this one is a good one, though. These teams do not like each other tonight. So we'll unpack what we saw there, and then we'll break down, give you what you need to know from each of the remaining games on the slate. In the meantime, ftnfantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. And that's it. I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.